Nebraska Untapped, the source for everything educational and informational about groundwater in agriculture. If you are an ag producer or a citizen of Nebraska, this show is made for you by the Middle Republican Natural Resource District.
Now it's time for our weekly show, hosted by Heather Disming.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Nebraska On Tap. Thank you so much for joining us this week. This week, we are going to talk to Sean Jacobs. He is the NOAA Federal Warning Coordination Meteorologist out of the National Weather Service in North Platte. And it was really awesome to be able to talk to Sean because he has so much passion about what he does. And it's also great because he also impacts this area with all the knowledge that he has to be able to perform the duties that he does. So let's get into that interview with Sean right now.
Yeah, so hello, I'm Sean Jacobs. I'm the Warning Coordination Meteorologist with the National Weather Service out of North Platte, Nebraska. Previously to working for the National Weather Service, I've earned my master's degree at the South Dakota School of Mines. I have a master's degree, earned a master's degree in atmospheric science. Also have a background in archaeology from the University of Northern Colorado, earned a bachelor's degree from, as well as an earth science degree from the University of Northern Colorado. My background in meteorology, mainly I served as a wildland fire meteorologist, where I was an incident meteorologist for many years with the National Weather Service. I also served that role for the state of South Dakota as well.
Wow, what a resume. You are just kind of versed in everything. That's awesome.
And I'll also say that I worked at an urban flash flood prediction program for the cities of Denver and Boulder while I was earning my bachelor's degree at University of Northern Colorado.
Yeah, well, it sounds like that if there's anything pertaining to weather or climate, you are the person.
Hopefully so, yes.
Yeah. So tell us who you work for now and what do you do in that role?
Yes, sure. So serving as the Warning Coordination Meteorologist with the National Weather Service, I'm the public liaison to 26 counties across western and north central Nebraska. And whoever I meet, when they ask, well, who do you work for? I always say, well, I work for you. You know, being that I'm a federal employee, I'm a public servant, and I work for, you know, the American public, and it's something that I really hold in high regards. And the reason why I wanted to get in the National Weather Service is I wanted to serve. So my primary duties being the liaison to the National Weather Service is I work a lot with emergency managers across the 26 counties that I serve, as well as fire departments, police departments, other city and county administrators or managers. I also work with the National Park Service, as well as the Game and Parks, NRDs. Basically, I am here to get people the information that they need or help them find the information that they need. I also spend a lot of time with outreach and doing training, specifically wildland fire training for volunteer fire departments and professional firefighters. I do a lot of outreach with schools, and that brings me a lot of joy to my job, going in and sharing my knowledge to the children. They just love talking about severe weather, talking about, impactful winter weather, and they always have stories that they want to share to me, and it's just awesome. And then we spend a lot of time serving impact to serving decision support services to those partners. So you'll see the National Weather Service at many of our large events across the area, like Nebraska Land Days or rodeos or other big events, where we will kind of embed with the emergency management and provide them site-specific support for that event to make sure that people are safe. So I run the IDSS program here with the National Weather Service and ensure that my colleagues are prepared, you know, to meet the needs of our customers.
That's a great explanation on the perspective of what you do.
And thank you.
Everything that you do sounds like a lot, but I'm sure it doesn't feel like a lot since you enjoy it so much?
I have a passion. I've always had a passion for meteorology, and it stems from my mother. And I laugh about this because she did everything wrong when you think about it when you're growing up. But growing up in South Texas, I remember there was a very impactful severe storm that was producing funnel clouds. And rather than going to our safe spot in our home, my mom picked me up as a young child. I was either 3 or maybe 4 years old. And we went to our back sliding glass window and we looked at the storm. And then the first time it snowed in San Antonio, and I don't know how many years, my mother got us out, me and my brothers out from school so we can experience the snow. We built a snowman, and by the time the other kids were let out, all the snow had melted. So I wouldn't have had that opportunity, to explore, the science and explore, just how neat snow was. So because of her, I just developed a passion, and that's what you need in any career that you do, is a passion for what you do, because it's not that I have to go to work today. I want to go to work today, and I just enjoy serving those that I get to, and it's just a great job.
That's awesome. I think your mom has a little Midwest farmer in her there.
I think she does. I think she does.
I remember being in the basement and being like, when's dad gonna come down here and join us? And he would rather stand outside and watch it too. It's like, well, maybe he might be down here, maybe he might not be there when we come back up. I don't know.
And I always joke with her. I'm like, Mom, if there's a tornado warning, they live in Colorado now, you get inside an interior of room, like a closet or the bathroom, and you shelter. And so she understands now, but yeah, she had a big impact on my life.
Yeah. And being out in Colorado too, it's almost like the hail capital of the United States out there. I remember getting caught in a couple of those hailstorms. They're pretty nasty with the elevation change.
Most certainly. Growing up later in life in Colorado, I got caught in some significant hailstorms. That hail area really expands into southwest Nebraska and western Nebraska. Just the amount of hail that we see, and there's been numerous billion-dollar hailstorms that not only have impacted the Front Range where, the populace is, but also out on the plains. And that's a concern of ours, certainly here with the National Weather Service when we issue those severe thunderstorm warnings. Just 2 nights ago, we had a storm move through the city of North Platte and dropped up to golf ball size hail. So certainly that's damaging, and it's bad for people outdoors. So we spend a lot of time studying hail and forecasting the hail for our public and our partners.
Yeah, I was in North Platte, and it was really crazy to feel the cold air and then the warm air and then the cold air and then the warm air. And I looked up and I was like, oh, there it is. And then monsoon rain just came on down.
And if you think about the physics of a thunderstorm, I mean, just how much weight is suspended above your head in those clouds and with the precipitation particles, those hydrometeors. And you think about the hail that's suspended up there. And as they start to fall to the surface of the earth, not only are they dragging down air toward the surface of the earth, but they're also cooling that column of air, which helps accelerate that downward momentum to the surface. And so once it hits, you get that just cold rush. And of course, all the precipitation, that heavy rain and of course, hail. For those that love precipitation physics, it's just so neat to think about and talk about. And that's what I get excited about, in weather, is watching how these things happen.
Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, that's a great explanation because I was, you always feel that coldness, happen. And then you're like, where's the hail? Or, going out with my dad and up on his little favorite spot where the farmers like to watch the storm come. These clouds are, representative of these and the green and the sky and all that different stuff from a farmer's perspective to a true professional's perspective that I'm talking to right now. It's really fascinating because weather has so much impact here in Nebraska for a lot of these ag producers.
Most definitely. And that's another part of my job that I love is, you know, talking to the public. And I will tell you, some of the best meteorologists that I've ever known are either farmers or wildland firefighters, because weather impacts, obviously, you know, farmers and wildland firefighters in so many ways, and they have to understand what's going on. They're out in those elements daily, and they see it, they understand. So, I always say the best meteorologists I've ever met are those farmers and those wildland firefighters.
Can you tell us a little bit about how this climate right now is with the El Nino, La Nina happening in the ocean?
Yeah, certainly. So just to give an example or give an explanation, excuse me, on the El Nino, La Nina Southern Oscillation. Yeah, we're talking about sea surface temperatures over the equatorial Pacific and whether they're warmer than normal or colder than normal. And if you remember the last several years, we've been in these La Nina conditions, and that's where the sea surface temperatures tend to be cooler than normal. But we had this rapid return back to El Nino conditions this past year where the sea surface temperatures were warmer than normal. And now looking at the climate models, it looks like we're going to have another reversal. So these reversals are happening very rapidly. And typically with La Nina conditions for much of the central United States, we really don't see much impact during the summertime. Summer temperatures tend to be warmer than normal. And looking closer to home here in Nebraska, we tend to be drier than normal during the late summer months. But we really see the impacts of La Nina heading into the fall and the winter months, where we tend to be drier than normal across the state. And we tend to be warmer than normal. Now, there is times in La Nina where north central Nebraska, we get a lot of these quick, you know, winter blasts that come down from the Canadian prairies that drag in a lot of cold air. So north central Nebraska, it's about 50-50. They can be warmer or colder than normal, but southwest Nebraska, there's definitely a warmer trend. And we're definitely paying attention to it because if you think about it, if we do indeed head into the La Nina and the La Nina trends drier than normal, we could be trending back toward drought conditions across the state, which is not what people want to hear about here.
No, they don't. How does drought and flood play a role in your position?
In my position, so, you know, we do a lot of education about drought, and it starts with the children going to school, so talking to the kids about drought, talking about the different climate patterns. And I do want to say that, you know, the El Nino, La Nina Southern Oscillation, it's just one total connection that impacts the weather globally. There are so many more. And so it's not always a guarantee. These climate forecasts, other teleconnections can come in and be much stronger and dominate, if you will, the weather pattern. But, you know, if you're looking at the El Nino, La Nina, it tends to be drier. But getting back to your question there, in terms of drought, you know, we certainly communicate, we educate, work with partners so that they can help be force multipliers to spread the word out so that people know. And I'm not a producer, but I do know that there are times that you can use different seeds or whatever that are maybe more drought resistant. So the quicker that we can get that information out to our partners and out to the public, we try to do that so that, you know, the impacts will be less than what, you know, would normally be. Also with drought, you know, we work with many different agencies, and our climate expert helps produce, you know, the drought. You probably see the drought monitor gets, you know, produced. So we're always providing input to that, and we're talking to different producers, different extension offices, different partners to get their inputs that they are heard so that we can make sure we get the correct message out to the drought experts who then prepare that, the drought monitor. For me, it's mostly about education. Now, in terms of flooding, when we do have highly impactful floods, I do a lot of storm damage surveys with my current job. And for the most part, it's after tornadoes or high wind events go through communities and cause a lot of damage. But I am trained to do high water marks and flood surveys so that it can go into the climate database and that insurance agencies see, FEMA, NEMA sees, so that there can be appropriations to help rebuild the communities back to the way they were. It's part of my job that I enjoy. I love doing the damage surveys because I'm just reminded how powerful physical processes of this earth is. Mm-hmm. But it's also difficult because you know that you're seeing damage and it's totally upended, you know, folks' lives. So and that's difficult part of my job.
And like you said, it is just the double-edged sword of like seeing how intense a storm can be and then how it impacts somebody. And yeah, then with the floods, they're completely devastating, you know, for the surface, but underneath they help recharge the aquifer. And so it's really awesome that you are able to go out and, you know, physically see all these, because a lot of people don't get that opportunity to do that.
It is. And, you know, my energy comes from serving others. I always wanted to be a public servant. So the National Weather Service was just a perfect job for me. And, you know, I get to work with like NDOT. And when we get, you know, these floods, you know, I'm working directly with the Department of Transportation or with law enforcement or firefighters, emergency management, so that we can help, you know, close off roads. I'm not the one who does that, but mm-hmm. I'm providing the input on that and, you know, to keep people safe and working with people, having that personal contact and connection with people really just recharges my batteries and just helps with the passion of what I do.
Nebraska is a great state to see a lot of weather in, so.
You know, I always laugh because everybody says, if you don't like the weather in Nebraska, just wait 15 minutes. And ain't that the truth? I mean, right. I remember starting out here, it's been almost 16 years ago, and we serve Cherry County, which is a rather large county. But we had blizzard warning going for the county, and we also had supercells that were ongoing with tornadoes. They were dropping tornadoes. So, you know, you can see all that different type of weather at one time. We get fire weather. We get the dust storms, and we get almost everything except tropical systems. Thankfully, we don't get hurricanes.
Right. Just that, the weird thing that happened in 2019 with the quote-unquote land hurricane that came through.
Yeah, that was such an impactful storm. And I have to admit, I was in Boise, Idaho with on a wildfire detail. So I wasn't around during it, but watching, you know, my wife and daughter were back here and knowing that we were going to get potential blizzard conditions where we were at, but then all of this heavy, heavy rainfall on what essentially was concrete, the frozen ground, and all the rivers were just locked up, mm-hmm. you know, with ice. It was just such bad, you know, everything came together, unfortunately, mm-hmm. and it came together in a very horrific way. And again, that just shows the power of these systems and how these systems are occurring more frequently in the data, which is concerning. So we need to really become climate resilient, and we need to be climate ready because, you know, these things are changing.
Mm-hmm. Clearly, I mean, right now on the interstate, I noticed they are putting speed advisory signs on the interstate, you know, because wind, rain, all the different elements that happen on the interstate to advise the travelers.
I love that they're doing that. That's the NDOT. They are so proactive and, you know, doing those, I forget the term, but, you know, variable speed, just mm-hmm. excellent, you know, will help keep people safe. And, you know, from what I understand, hearing from those NDOT partners, the research clearly shows that it will help, you know, in these impactful conditions like you said, with the very strong winds or, you know, the blinding heavy rain or the snows. So excellent forward thinking there with the Nebraska Department of Transportation.
I love listening to the weather scanner, but not everybody likes to listen to that. So it's great for the people who are jamming out to their favorite tunes to understand that there's probably something going on ahead that they need to be paying attention of.
Most definitely. Most definitely. And it's just another way to tap those people on the shoulder to get their attention, which is great.
Because as we all know, the wind loves to blow in Nebraska, and everybody loves to tell you about how much the wind blows in Nebraska.
Yes, it does. You know, just thinking 2 years ago at this time, we had that onslaught of wind. What was it back in 2022 during the spring months? Oh my goodness. It was becoming unbearable. Just multiple days with those 50, 60 mile an hour winds. And those weren't the gusts, just those winds. Nebraska is a windy place, that is for sure.
Yeah, and everybody likes to wear their ball cap, so it's kind of a damper on that. It's so windy, you lose your hat every time you go out.
Most definitely.
Well, anything else you'd like to add, Sean?
No, just appreciate this opportunity, you know, to share my passion of weather. And, you know, I am your liaison, so we serve western North Central Nebraska. And if it's not a county that we serve, I can certainly connect you with my counterpart in the correct National Weather Service office. But, you know, hey, if you have opportunities where you would like a meteorologist to come and talk and meet with you, or if you're ever just interested on what we do in this office, set up a tour, or let me come down and we'll give you a talk to your group. Or we love coming in talking with churches, with schools, you know, with the other organizations. So, you know, I'm here to serve you. So please let me know if there's anything I can do.
Well, it was such a pleasure to talk to you today, Sean. I feel like I could talk to you all day about weather because you have so much knowledge on it, and I'm so interested as well. So I just appreciate your time for sure. And I hope that people do reach out to you to come in and talk to them about weather as well.
Anytime. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks again, Sean, for joining us today. And just as Sean said, remember, everybody, he is available for you if you have any questions or if you want to have him come and speak to your classroom or anything like that. So just something fun about the components of the National Weather Service. They have national centers. There are 9 centers dedicated to specialized categories of national and global weather. And then they have the Center Weather Service units. These are 21 concentrated fully on weather for the nation's air route traffic control centers. Then they also have the river forecast centers, and there's 13 of those. Those are focused on providing river and flood forecast and hydraulic information. And then they also have the weather forecast offices, and there are 122 weather forecast offices that monitor and forecast local weather around the clock 24/7, 365. So I think that's pretty cool. And then the local weather forecast office has different positions such as administrative staff, operating staff, and the electronic staff. So pretty cool thing there with weather. And it's always something fun to learn about something new, right? So thanks again for joining me today. Again, if you are not subscribed, please do so you know when our newest episode is out. We are on our RSS feed, Nebraska on Tap, Spotify, Nebraska on Tap, Apple Podcasts, Nebraska on Tap, YouTube, same thing, and also our website, www.nebraskaontap.com. And we look forward to seeing everybody next week for our next episode. So have a great one. Bye-bye.